Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah!
Puckle!
Puckle!
Welcome to the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, here today with my wonderful co-hosts. We've got Dr. Shamu.
Hello, hello. He
got his doctorate in seismology.
Sure, we'll go with that this time.
and then we've got, as you can hear laughing, Shark Finnegan.
Hello.
And we're here to bring you the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name we came up with in 2007, where we talk everything Pokemon, from the trading card game to the video game to everything in between. I was thinking about something with Puckle the other day, and it was really bad. Oh, no, I was talking to somebody, we just hired this new guy at work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we hired him in August. I guess it's already November. And I was talking to him about the podcast, and he was asking about the segments, and I was just like, oh, well, you know, the quiz segment's the newest addition to the podcast. And then I was like sitting there thinking about like when we added it. I'm like, that was 8 years ago. It's fine. We did that eight years ago. So for most people, it's never been a new addition. It's just been there. The trivia segments just always existed.
Mm-hmm.
The segment that all of the people only care about is right there. I know Shamu's got answers to this question about what you've been up to in Pokemon lately. I don't know what you have either, if you have something as well, Shark, but I know Shamu's been doing some fun things.
Oh yeah, it's been a while, actually, because the last time I was on, I think it was post-Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it was like the week after Pittsburgh, I think.
Yeah.
How'd you do at Peoria?
Didn't do bad. I dropped round 8. I wish I played through round 9 at that point. But I went 4-3-1.
You should have. Yeah, it's just one more round. How late did it go? Like, how late did it go?
It was like... I'm trying to remember. I think... I can't remember if it was like sometime between 5 and 7. And I can't remember.
Oh, 5 and 7... 5 p.m. and 7 p.m.? It was that early.
Yeah,
that feels early.
I can't remember. My time is all fuzzy around that time. After like,
oh no! After you play 8-9 rounds of Pokemon, you're cooked.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, it's draining for sure.
Yeah. No, it is.
When you do these tournaments,
especially in that format, because there's a lot of Gardevoir in that format, a lot of Lost Box in that format.
I fought one Lost Box there. I didn't see any guard. But
oh,
no,
you're
I
so lucky.
I wasn't doing bad. I just there's like two rounds I just got completely crushed. Like there's a Lost Box matchup. I was running Pumpkaboo in my deck.
What was your record at the end of round 8?
It was 4-3-1. That's what I ended with.
Oh, you should have absolutely gone one more.
I should have. I didn't realize how it would have happened. I didn't realize essentially dropping removed you from getting points or anything like that. So I just didn't even, not even that point, but the fact of there was no placement. I didn't realize that. So I didn't know. I know now.
If you would have at least tied, you probably would have gotten points.
Even then, I just wish I would play one more round just to have a placement so I could say, hey, I did better than person A or B or whatever.
Yeah, you should have totally done that.
Because that round 8 was diagonally from me was Tord.
Oh, really?
So that just tells me where it had the same record. I know Azul did similarly.
Yeah.
But I think he ended at 5-4-1. That's the thing I was thinking. Like, I thought or no, maybe not 5-4-1, but like 5-4 or 5-3-1 or something like that. Maybe, I don't know. It's just the fact that I wish I would have played so I could see how on record I did with other people like that. I could have really found my name in like the listings.
Honestly, Seth should take a look at that story because Seth always gets really defeatist about how poorly he does at these all the time. But I feel like the problem the problem isn't that Seth is bad. It's just that it's more of a numbers game than anything.
It's rough too. He didn't do the greatest, unfortunately.
Yeah, so. It's fine. The last format was rough. It was not fun.
Yeah, no, I just got thrashed by Urshifu in a lost box, and then a Lugia at the very end. Actually what happened. Essentially each of those games, not the Urshifu, but the other two, I just had a pump kaboo and it just got like, that was the dog essentially. I'm like, all right, cool, I can't play. You know, like, I just got thrashed immediately and I was like, okay, I just, way too fast.
Totally.
Or it was just, couldn't clinch it at the very end. But other than that, I felt good. Maridon was just easy picking. I loved it.
Yeah.
I enjoy playing Maridon and telling him, what are you going to do? You can't play.
Yeah, I totally get
you
that.
I was playing Drago for context. Drago V-Star.
Mm-hmm.
So, the Noivern's attack. The Drago can use all the attacks of dragons in your discard. And then the Noivern EX has an attack for 70 damage that says you can't be hurt by basics.
Yeah.
Maridon EX is like 90% basics other than like the two Flaffy if they have it. And that's not enough damage to kill a Drago.
Yep.
So essentially you have like 40 cards left in deck, assemble the little lock for Maridon and go, what would you like to do? I'm just going to keep doing this. I have nothing else on the board. Would you like to scoop and go to game two?
Did they scoop?
I got like 3 scoops out of it in total.
Good.
Yeah. Maridon was fun to play against for me, not for them.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because they were short rounds is what happened. You know, it's like, spend, be there for like 15 minutes, like, what would you like to do? Yeah. We'll just enjoy the rest of our round, just moving around and quick break.
Yeah, makes sense.
But yeah, no, I'm happy with the performance there, to be honest. It sucked with the matchups I lost against, but it is what it is. I'm tinkering it with maybe for San Antonio.
Yeah.
Because I was going to go off of it, and then going back and seeing a few new little innovations that I find very cute, I kind of want to try it again. And I think it's got a decent matchup.
I feel like it's good enough to make day two.
I don't think it can win a tournament, but my first goal is to make day two and then go from there, you know?
I feel like making day two in general is good enough to get you to Worlds. Like, if you go to enough of these and you just day two, that's good enough to get you to Worlds.
That was maybe a couple, like, League Cup wins type of thing. They're Challenge Cups, whatever they are called. I don't remember.
Well, there's Challenges and Cups. So, like, Challenges are, like, either little itty-bitty baby tournaments. Though I've heard some people just running them horribly.
Yeah.
I'm kind of waiting to, like, jump back into Cups and Challenges until post-Christmas. Because by then, a lot of the people that were really, like, gung-ho about getting points will have already gotten their points.
Yeah.
And I can just like go and have like I want one step above the casual experience that is League.
Yeah.
Like that's what I want from a challenge. But you don't get a lot of points from those either. It's like 15 points or something like that.
No, but you're getting those up in a, like every once in a while, because just making day two doesn't get you a lot and you need like 500. So it's like,
no, you need 600 this year.
Yeah, 600, right? Even worse, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. You can get 90 points from League challenges and you can get up to 300 from cups, but cups are typically much larger.
Yeah.
So the chance of you winning 6 cups is probably not great. Also, Ohio is just like a hotbed for all competitive Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't quite understand it. I don't know if it's just because NAIC for the, or I guess it was just the North American.
That's probably what it was for most of it. Cause you had, it was NAIC was there for what, 10 years ish?
Not even 10. No, it started,
not 10 years.
Didn't it used to be called NAIC? It used to be just Nationals.
Well, either way, National.
But that showed up in Columbus, Ohio in 2016. But before that, it was just in Indianapolis.
Oh, so yeah, still the area though at the very
which
least.
Is, yeah, which if you're in Ohio is like probably worst case 4 hours, depending on where you're coming from. And, yeah, so Ohio and this area, like Michigan, Southern Michigan's actually pretty big into it as well.
Yeah.
So
it's right there. Yeah.
Yeah. It's actually very into it because of that. I mean, this is both not just the TCG, but also like the video game as well.
Yeah. When you've got a national hotspot for the tournaments being essentially two states right next to each other for like the last however many years, 10 years then, because including both of them.
I think it was at least 10 with both of them.
That makes sense. You know, you got people there and it's like,
yeah.
I don't think people moved there for that specifically, but you know, people were more inclined to partake when you've got a national tournament every year right near you.
People aren't moving here for that. That's definitely for sure. And
I feel like someone probably did like, oh, I've got this. Oh, this is a reason to go there. I feel one person at least had to, knowing the amount of people in this world. Like, it'd be...
I don't know if anybody moved here for that, but, like, the number of
it
people... Definitely
would, it could easily be a point to move there. I don't... Maybe not the only reason, but, you know, like, oh, I need to move here for my job. Oh, this is the year two? Yeah, hell yeah, we'll do this. You know, like...
The number of people I haven't seen move here, per se, but come to visit here because of that.
Yeah.
Right? Because a lot of the big players in the area know other big players, so they come and they visit a lot. So that's actually very interesting to see. But yeah, I don't know. Well, Shark, do you have anything? Like, we've taken up the whole thing and not talked to you at all.
No, y'all are good. The main things that I mean, Pokemon-wise, I've only really been doing Pokedoku lately. That's really the biggest thing I've been doing.
Okay, so I have seen this as well and been doing it also. And you go for, like, the uniqueness score, right? Like, that's what everybody's doing.
Oh, yeah, no, 1,000%. It's because, I mean, most of these are, like, should be, like, pretty straightforward. It's like, oh, I know water electric types. That's fine. Let me try to see if I can pick the most obscure ones.
I don't know. There was one that I saw on Twitter that wasn't, like, an official Pokedoku. It was instead a Pokedoku that, like, somebody made, but instead of just having... So Pokedoku, for those of you who are unfamiliar, this is just, like, a thing that happened in the Pokemon community. It's like Pokemon Sudoku, where we have three... It's a 3x3 square, and in each square, you just have overlapping grids. Like, today, it's Psychic, and you'd have to overlap that with a Galar Pokemon or a Paldea Pokemon or a Fairy Pokemon. You do this in a grid.
Yeah, there's been popping up in sports. There's been Immaculate Grid is what it's called. It's just for sports. So it's like what sport team or like what award the players have won. So it's same concept, but now it's with Pokemon, which is like, oh yeah, no, I know all the Pokemon, of course.
I saw this one, though, where they, instead of just having like the one side on each grid, each side of the grid had two.
Oh, yeah, that one. Yeah, I posted one of those that I saw in the Discord today, and a lot of us were going through it, which is really fun. So
I definitely, like, saw it, and I solved it myself when I saw it. And the number of people that, like, replied, that I don't know if it's just because some Pokemon just aren't seen often enough for people to know the actual, like, methods of evolution or some things like that, but people definitely were making very blatant mistakes.
Oh, yeah, no, and I definitely made some, too.
I still remember the time when, like, what Darkrai got added to Pokemon Go and people thought it was a brand new Pokemon. I still remember that.
I don't know if that's not really in the same vein, but this is like...
Not exactly, but it's still the same thing of people like, that doesn't exist, you know? And it's still like, it just shocked me.
It's
still.
Like, people are saying like Weavile was a Pokemon that evolved via trait evolution or something like that. And that's not true.
That's just not accurate. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cause yeah, the specific grid for this one was it's get stab against psychic types.
Yeah.
New evolution release in Gen 4. Okay. We're already going Weavile here. Retains a type of evolution. All right. We're almost there. And is any part of an evolutionary line associated with an item plus trade evolution?
That's Dusknoir.
That's not Weavile.
That's Dusknoir. I saw that. And I'm like, that's Dusknoir.
Yeah.
and Weavile was somebody like put Weavile there. Like, if that person listens to the podcast, I'm sorry, I'm not ragging on you. I don't think it's your fault. I think it's just the way the Pokemon community is now.
Blame society.
There's so many. We're just like, you look at all of it.
That's kind of the answer, Shamu. I do blame society.
We live in a society.
I do blame society because I think the culture of Pokemon nowadays is much different than it used to be. Like, it used to be a bunch of people who were nerds that, like, a bunch of actually nerds, and I don't think it is that way anymore. We used to be, because we'd be like, this Pokemon actually evolves this way. Like, we would have done that, but in this case, you just have people who enjoy Pokemon, and they just say things.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's why I think, like, Pokedoku does so well, is because, it's like, people can fail it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be honest. Today, when I first did this, I failed it because I was like, it was Psychic Fairy, and it's like, of course I know that Gardevoir is a Psychic Fairy, but I'm not gonna pick the obvious answer.
Yeah, but that's gonna be the high. You don't want the obvious answer. You want the uniqueness score to go down.
I want the uniqueness score because I know. Obviously, I'm doing a Pokemon podcast. I know I should.
Yes,
I should be able to get a low score on this.
Tapu Lele exists and nobody remembers. It's fine.
I forgot that one. I was like, I'll go the Hatterene line. Let's go with Hatrim.
Oh no, no, it doesn't get fairy.
Yes,
it doesn't get fairy.
Hatrim is not a fairy type.
Yeah. Oh no.
Psychic fairy.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, no. So yeah, no, that's the only reason I failed. Otherwise, I probably would have been fine. If I just went Hatterene or Hatterene G-Max, I would have been fine.
But yeah, most of the time you just do the G-Max, like nobody remembers that you can select it, so.
Yeah. It's sometimes funny when I see that whenever you, because you can look and see what the what everyone's answers are.
Yeah.
You see the G-Max, there's like, the G-Max is slightly higher than the normal. It's like, people are trying to go the G-Max and is backfiring.
Yeah. Because they realize that those don't exactly pop up easily, and same thing with, like, Megas. Megas are a tricky one.
Mm-hmm.
Because I haven't done it, but I've seen people do it once or twice, so I'm, like, aware of it.
Yeah. But yeah, okay, I'm going to cut us off, though. We have gone on long enough. We have some news to talk about, though. Actually, not that much, but... we're going to do some news. So, let's go ahead and cue that epic music.
Town Radio Tower. This just in.
Welcome to the news. In the news, there's actually not that much because they should have come out with a trailer and we didn't get the trailer. It's fine, guys. Don't worry about it. I think they also just don't want to, like, take away anything from Black Friday sales from other games. This weekend, well, by the time you listen to this, it's over. The Latin American International Challenges have taken place. And they're giving away a Dragapult code for VGC and an Art Rare Iron Valiant for TCG.
Ooh.
Both of these are digital. Like, the TCG card is also a digital card. There were also at NAIC, there were drops if you watched it in Twitch. Like, after you watch for 50 minutes, they would drop and give you, like, 3 booster packs or something. So, something to watch out for.
Oh, drops thing is built into Twitch that you can go redeem them through. I think you need to have it connected to the Pokemon.com, I think, for it to work. But
I believe it.
Yeah.
They're But yeah, they did do that last time. Like, I think you can get...
I've seen them do it before for where Pokemon will do it, and they'll give you, like, $10 gift card to PokemonCenter.com. So it's worth doing it, just to, like, just have it in the background, come back in, like, 15 minutes, and it's just, like, make sure you're active or whatnot, and then, boop, you get
Yeah, there's also a little tracker that shows you how long you have until you get the reward.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it might be on the rewards page of Twitch or on the drops page, but there is, like, a thing that'll show you, like, yes, you need, like, 15 more minutes or whatever, you know?
That's really neat.
Yeah.
Also, the UK is getting the Horizons anime next month on BBC iPlayer, so maybe they will finally tell us that it's coming to Netflix. Yeah.
Maybe. One day.
It would make sense.
I mean, it makes sense, because this would be on schedule based on the Pokemon Journeys anime release schedule. Since we got those episodes in September, we should be getting the next batch in December.
Yeah.
Which would be probably like the first 13 episodes of the anime, you know, something on that order would be my expectation.
Hopefully that catch up eventually.
Oh, we'll never catch up. It's fine. I do believe we should simulcast it. Like, I believe there should be a sub that we could watch on, like, Crunchyroll or something.
You gotta give it time. It took us, like, I know it's still a while back, but we got our game synced up finally. We finally getting the TCG synced up. You gotta give them another 10 years for them to sync up the
TCG,
anime.
The TCG's almost synced up. The TCG's very weird.
It essentially is. We got Paradox Rift, like, a week after they got theirs set, so.
I do agree with you that this is probably as close as it will get in terms of syncing up, because of the way that Japanese sets are designed.
I would consider the TCG essentially synced up, as in the fact that it literally, like, a week after they got their set, we got ours.
Yeah, no, it's just because we do our sets differently. I would much rather get the sets like Japan gets them.
I kind of would too. It would just be like, because you'd be able to, like, you'd probably pay less to a degree, but you'd also, like, get a better chance at getting what you want out of a set.
I would rather buy a booster box. Like, I would buy 36 packs of each of these sets. You know what I mean?
That's fair.
Because if you do that, you're probably going to get most of everything you want.
Well, it's because it's also, like, segmented down, too.
Yeah, for reference, for people who don't quite know how it works, like, it's about three Japanese sets become one U.S. set. And, I mean, there are some exceptions, like, Obsidian Flames was garbage for a reason, and that's because it actually only consisted of one Japanese set. But yeah, the anime might show up soon. Mm-hmm. Sync.
This is how you stretch a news segment when you have very little news for the Nintendo sales news. So we got the, you know, the quarterly update of what things are going. In terms of just Nintendo general, Mario Kart is still selling like crazy. And
of course,
Tears of the Kingdom surprisingly kind of is slowing down a lot faster. It's not really, don't know if it's going to ever beat Breath of the Wild.
Breath of the Wild has so much hype behind it, though. Like, you have to think about it. Like, that was like, we saw the first trailer 6 years before the game came out, and it took them so long to come out with it, and it was a launch. It was the launch title for the Switch, so there's nothing else to play on the Switch at the time.
It had a lot more circumstantial like thing going for it, which led to it selling crazier and crazier.
Pokemon wise, where are we at? Switch has broke 26 million, though it is basically about at the point where they're not going to really increase the sales date anymore. It's at that 100,000 level.
It's plateaued. It's plateaued.
It's at that hard plateau at this point. It might go a tiny bump, but I don't know if it's really going to bump.
Yeah, there's not going to be probably much more for it. Maybe there won't be any like spikes of it unless something happens, which I don't think it will.
Yep. Scarlet Violet is at 23 million, just about 500,000 away from Gold Silver. So it's going to definitely pass that up here with the DLC boot bump.
Could you imagine Scarlet and Violet sales numbers if it didn't perform like hot garbage? Like in terms of like game performance.
Yeah, what's really kind of alarming here, just like I was looking at the numbers, I think it's theoretically possible that Scarlet Violet might not outsell Swish.
Okay.
If it doesn't get the DLC bump or any future game bumps between, you know, before Gen 10.
Yeah, so
it's possible.
I am unshocked by this based on history. Whenever we have, this has happened every time, but Gen 3, if you look at every generation that's the second generation on a console, it always does a little bit worse than the first one. Like, so Pokemon Go stuff, I'll let you read this, Shamu, and then the people that play Go can interpret.
Yep. Fashion Week runs from the 15th through the 19th, and we get costumes for Dragonite, Wooper Quagsire, and as well as Shiny Gothita.
Wow.
So hype.
Yeah. I like the Wooper costume. It's cute.
So fashionable. Much fashion. Such wow.
That's the news. We do have Puckle's pokey prediction, though. With LAIC happening this weekend, or next weekend? I don't know which one it is. Do you think a new deck will crack top 8? Will Mew win it all again? Will Hisuian Arcanine take a trophy in VGC?
I don't think Mew will win it, for one.
I don't think Mew will win it because Mew's got a target on its back. It's doing too well.
Well, also, there's like, it's hard to, I think a new deck will crack top 8, just because many there are.
There's a lot of good decks that came out. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Roaring Moon showed up.
Roaring Moon will, because I think it's a very fast-paced deck, and you can essentially earn yourself a victory on, you can't win, but you can earn yourself a victory on turn 2 by getting the momentum.
It's like Dark-type. It's Dark-type Maraidon.
Yeah, for a little bit of context, the Roaring Moon can essentially, for 3 energy, just KO something, and then you take, like, almost lethal damage in return. But the fact that you can just KO anything...
Do we get to consider Qian Pao Iron Hands as a
I
as
think
a new
Qian
deck?
Pao is okay, but a lot of decks are playing the Toad's Cruel to screw with it.
Yeah, but is that like a new deck? Or is that like just
I don't
Qian
know if
Pao?
I would say... I think it's... I don't know if it's a new...
It operates very similarly to Qian Pao, but it's just a different
Qian
Pao. Qian
Pao, but you're not running like the other weird tech stuff you would run in like a Qian Pao list. You're just running Qian Pao Excalibur as your Iron Hand, as your weird techie thing.
I also wouldn't be surprised if, like, Cloth made it. Like, I think... I think there's a world where Cloth makes it.
I haven't seen much of it being played with, but I could see something weird like Cloth pop up there.
It's performed
there will be a Valiant list. It might be shoved into the Lost Box. It might be solo. I don't know.
Potentially.
Because if it was Lost Box, I don't know if I'd consider it a new deck, really, is the issue. But I could see Iron Valiant making it. I'm trying to think of what else super crazy from Paradox Rift. Because, like, mainly things are Valiant and Roaring Moon are insane. They are insane cards. Golden Go's okay, but I think it might be... Someone has to get a really good run for Golden Go to make top 8.
Golden
the
Go...
Deck, the
I
deck
think
is frail.
I think Golden Go is in the same place Maraidon was when it first came out.
Yeah.
That's kind of how
Maraidon's just like Roaring Moon is just good Maraidon as your thing earlier. It's because Maraidon was good because it did what it does what Roaring Moon does and gets its board set up and attacks on like turn two.
Yeah.
Roaring Moon just does that now.
Yeah.
And it's like insane without having to go super wide.
Yeah. I mean, you can, I think it's going to be one of those decks that a lot of people, I think it's just going to be more people playing it. And so it's going to have some success.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, like,
I'm like struggling to remember all the decks that are even in like, now Lost alive, Tina. Essentially.
Lost Tina will be fine. There's a lot of new stuff.
And in terms of Hisuian Arcanine, it just, some reason, it's just won every single Regulation E tournament, I think, so far.
It's very good.
Yeah. It's not even, like, top 10 usage. It doesn't even crack, like, the top 12, like, the daily, you know, from these region tournaments. But for some reason, it's just, you know, it's just there hitting hard with Choice Band.
It's good. It's just
Choice Band, Intimidate, Flare Blitz.
Like
Arcanine is good in a world without Incineroar. This is what I expect.
Landorus Therian is one of the top used Pokemon. Iron Hands is a top used Pokemon, but for some reason, Arcanine's still just thriving.
It's fire type. It's
Arcanine always did well. Arcanine's
bulky fire types are bulky fire types are very good in VGC.
VGC Arcanine has historically done very well. It was we've just all forgotten since Incineroar in 2016.
They both intimidate, so they're just a slightly one of them not two legs. I guess you think about the guy on two legs and not the one on four. I don't
know. It's just the typing that Incineroar has as well. Like the fire the dark type does make a difference, especially in terms of not being able to be prankstered. Which is a thing that a lot of people always forget about. I mean, to the extent that I forget which finals match I was watching. I believe it was NAIC's finals match. The opposing player forgot that Prankster doesn't affect dark types. Like that is a mechanic that is so forgettable.
It is.
Would not surprise me Arcanine do well here, especially against like Tornadus, you know, being a
that's actually
as common as it is.
Hisuian Arcanine is just bulky Arcanine, but we gave it rock type, so it's a little bit more bulky.
You know,
I think it's just good. It's just
spamming rock slides always good.
Yeah,
I just had a thought though. I wish we knew what other Pokemon would get what kind of immunities, because like electric is immune to paralyzed, fire is immune to burn, grass is immune to like powder and stuff.
Yeah,
like dark is immune to prankster. Like, what would the other types have immunity wise? To think on.
I don't know.
See, you've got
I don't want
ground and steel.
I feel that'll happen eventually over time. It's like a power creep thing. But
we used to have hail, but it doesn't exist anymore.
Ice just got its boost because it got
an innate thing to that type, something from like
okay. That's fair.
Get there for everything, because most of those are just status conditions, right?
Yeah, that's fine. Like, even if they're all like essentially like, oh, psychic's immune to like future sight and like
hypnosis. I kind of like not having one for every type because it makes them more unique.
Yeah, but it's also, I guess it works both ways.
Yeah, I don't think we're gonna get to
like what does normal have? Normal is, I guess you have one weakness, one immunity.
Yeah, I don't expect it.
But
I don't expect like any of this. I don't expect to hit like singularity where every type is fitting in somewhere. Like there are going to be bad types and there's going to be good types, and I'm okay with it that way.
And do I want it to change completely? I don't know if I want to change completely, because I think that's too complex. But again, I just think that's an interesting thought. That's like, what if what would they be?
Yeah, I think that could definitely be a tie, because I have some thoughts that we could dive deeper into. Just like, if it were to give it, what would they be?
We're gonna put a pin in it, and we're gonna put it on the sheet as a potential topic.
Mm-hmm.
With that, we've got Puckle's Poke Quiz to go to, so we're gonna go quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge.
Oh, hi, and welcome to the Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz our co-hosts on their insane Pokemon knowledge. I'm Mark from the Dunsparce Gang, here to explain the rules. Our fabulous co-hosts will work as a team to answer 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions that fans have submitted on the Discord server. Each question is worth 1 point, with Pokedex and multiple answer questions worth more, for a total of 7 points. The host can use a free hint at any time. If they get all the answers correct and do not use the hint, they can cash it in for an 8th point.
Welcome to the trivia segment. Thank you to the rules being read. We're going to jump right into it. Our first question is going to come from Umbreon1080. Reflect type was a move that was introduced in Generation 5. What Generation 1 move had the same effect as Reflect type, but was changed to in Generation 2 to have a different effect? I'm gonna actually give you the description of said move, so that you know what it is.
I think I know what it is.
I think there's only one thing it could be, but I would
I'm thinking conversion.
Yeah. Or conversion.
Reflect.
Two.
Yeah,
that's
reflect.
I don't remember which one
reflect
it is.
Reflect type does, this is what reflect type does. The user reflects the target's type, making it the same type as the target.
It's gotta be conversion two.
And the move.
Wait, no, the move that was changed from Gen 1 to Gen 2. So in Gen 2, it was changed.
Oh, that used to have you're right. The one that had the same as it might be conversion then. Yeah, you're right.
But you read the, what were you going to say though, Thad?
I was going to read the description for the move, after it changed.
After it changed, okay.
Yeah. It, changes the user's type to a known moves type.
That would be conversion.
Says now.
Because conversion 2 is.
Yeah, I think it's conversion, especially
resistance.
If it changed from 1 to 2 and Porygon 2 with a Gen 2, so they changed probably conversions. They probably changed what conversion did to conversion 2.
That sounds something like that,
So, I think. Cause I can't think of any other. The only other moves I think that change your type are like camouflage, and that was not also until like a way later gen.
Yeah.
That was definitely not Gen 1 move. So I think conversion.
Yeah, I could tell you that conversion's current one is the latter description that Thatch gave, because that's what made Porygon Z so popular in Gen 7, is when you use Z conversion, you get all the stat boosts, and then you change your type to, like, Ice or Ghost, and just be able to spam Shadow Ball.
Right.
So, it is conversion.
Conversion is correct. So you guys are 1-for-1. Your next question is from Gus. In Pokemon Go, what's the only costume Pokemon whose stats are different from the base form of that Pokemon? I assume we're going to have to lean on Shark here.
I don't know what the
costume Pokemon.
This was also a Pokemon that was promoting something very specific in the Pokemon franchise.
Would
around,
it be a Gen 6 specific?
No.
No?
No.
Not in Gen 6? Okay.
No.
Well, that ruined the costume.
This Pokemon was available in raids in July 2019 and then again in February of 2020.
Oh. Okay. Hold on.
There was a thing that came out around that time.
It has to be is it just one Pokemon?
It is just one Pokemon.
Shadow Mewtwo. Oh, or not Shadow Mewtwo. It is the Mewtwo or Armor Mewtwo, I guess is what it would be called. The one that is specifically from the Pokemon, the first movie evolution, the Netflix version.
That is correct. It is Armored Mewtwo from the movie remake.
Yeah, that got rid of
the Vikings joke. It got rid of the Vikings joke, which was upsetting.
It is very upsetting.
I like to imagine that movie doesn't exist, much in the same vein that Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee don't exist.
Exactly.
Thatcher, are you okay? Did you take something? I don't know. What are you talking
about? Yeah, exactly. What's Let's Go? What does this mean?
I know.
Let's go, Johto, 2024.
Let's Pokemon go to the
stop. All right. So your next question, you guys are 2-for-2. Your next question is your Pokedex entry question. This one's going to come from the Trivia Master Liger. Its Pokemon Ultra Moon entry reads, as it slashes into its enemies, it looks like it's dancing. Its elegant appearance has led some to call it the most glamorous grass Pokemon.
Leave
that Pokemon.
My other guess is Hisuian Lilligant. I'm good with
Ultra Moon.
Ultra Moon.
Oh, I missed that.
This is like glamorous grass type cutting things. I can't think of anything other than a Leavanny.
I'm good with that, honestly.
Like, I guess Lurantis could be, but I don't think Lurantis is like glamorous, like been like Dan thing.
No, I don't think. Yeah, glamorous. I would have thought Serena, but that doesn't cut things. So,
it doesn't slash. Yeah. I guess it can slash, but I don't know.
I'm good with Lee Vanny.
My gut is telling me Lee Vanny, and I don't get very good gut read. Not very good ones, but I don't get gut read on Pokedex entries very often.
No, I'll take it. That's a good guess. I'm all for it. Let's rock it.
Lee Vanny's incorrect. Your second entry today it comes from Pokemon Scarlet, and it reads, by masquerading as a bug Pokemon, it lowers the guard of actual bug Pokemon lured into the scent of sweet flowers. Its sickles bring them down.
Yeah, Lurantis.
Lurantis is correct.
I should have just gone with the Pokemon from the game, but Lee Vanny was too close.
I don't blame you. It's pretty close. All right. Well, you guys are 3-for-3. This question is your multiple answer question. You can get up to 3 points here. Because I only have one option because I did not tell Liger that we were recording on Friday beforehand. We were stuck with the question that I passed up last week. So this one is from Umbreon 1080. There are 8 answers here. I'm going to tell you I only need 4 of them. Or not 4 of them, 3 of them.
Okay.
And I will give you credit for that. If you can name 3 of them. Of course you do have your hint if you're running the struggle bus. But this says in Pokemon Refresh, what are the 8 Pokemon that cannot be fed Pokepuffs?
Oh God, which one is Refresh? Is that Gen 6?
I believe that is
Gen 7. It's X and Y.
No, Gen 7. Pokemon Refresh is Gen 7, yes.
Okay.
Well, who doesn't have mouths?
Based on the answers.
Who doesn't have mouths is what it is. I don't know what Pokemon count as that is the thing. That's not a category I know off the top of my head are Pokemon who don't have mouths.
Okay,
and can't
let's scream.
Bug is a shape.
First answer, Beldum has no mouth, I think. It's just
you do get 3 strikes, by the way. 3 strikes
and
you're out,
right? It's an eye leg thing.
Because I'm thinking, like, Magnemite, the Magnemite line would be possible, but
you said Beldum?
I said Beldum first.
Said Beldum, yeah.
Beldum is incorrect.
Okay.
I have hints ready to go if you so choose, but
I'm just gonna shoot Magnemite because this will confirm if we're gonna be even have an option.
Magnemite is also incorrect.
All right,
that is 2 strikes.
I think we take the hint now.
6 of the 7 of these are bug types.
What?
I tried to drop the hint by saying bug is a shape, but
well, it's more the fact of I don't understand how
it's gotta be. Okay, 6 of these, 6 of 7
6 of these are
bugs.
6 are bugs.
6 of the 8, or 7 of the 8, my bad. 7 of the 8 are bugs.
Okay. I'm just gonna...
And there's a lot of middle evolutions in there.
Okay, that's what I was going at. I'm thinking, here, I'm just gonna say them. I'm not gonna guess them yet. I'm just gonna say, I'm gonna count if I could get 6 here. I've got Metapod,
I'm assuming it's
Kakuna,
gonna be like Metapod, Kakuna,
Silcoon,
yeah, all of them.
Spupa.
Well, Spupa has a mouth though, but I feel like it could
Spupa
eat it.
With an asterisk then. Levani, Swadloon does have a mouth. Whirlipede.
Yeah.
It's probably not Whirlipede. Trying to think of any others.
Not all of Whirlipede these are answers, by the way, but,
No, we're just kind of going through our. Yeah.
I'm just trying to think if there's any other good cocoons to like knock. Burmy, kinda. That's like a 5 asterisk.
You're on the right path there. You're on the right path there.
Yeah.
Worm. No.
You want to start locking some in? You only need 3 of them, and I'm going to give you points.
Let's do
Metapod, Kakuna, Metapod, Kakuna, Silcoon, Cascoon.
Those 4 are correct, so we're going to give you full credit on that assignment.
Okay.
Those 4 are correct because they have no mouths and they're in cocoons. The other ones that you're missing here are Pineco, because it's another bagworm. Unsurprisingly, Shedinja.
It's just a husk.
As well.
Yeah.
And then also, this is not a bug type. This is Spupa. But
Spupa counts. Okay.
And the one not bug type in this is Cosmoem.
Okay, it's a sleeping cocoon. So it's almost the same.
I'm surprised that, yeah, I get it. It just feels weird. Like, yeah, the things that don't actually have a mouth can eat, but the thing that technically, like, Speedball, I believe, does have a mouth and it can't eat. Like, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, right.
It just has a little pocket there to store something. Maybe. I don't know.
Well, you guys have 6 points now. You can go for 7 here. This is, your last question, as always, is a base stat question. And I believe this one comes from Liger because I don't have a name that goes with it. But, what fairy type Pokemon has the lowest special defense of all fairy type Pokemon?
Lowest special defense of fairy
all fairy types.
Azurill?
Oh, God, probably isn't. Like, I'm thinking of a baby.
Iglybuff.
No, Iglybuff and Cleffa probably have, like, higher special defense.
Yeah.
I think Azurill has, like, maybe 160 base, if not under that. Like, base total. That wouldn't shock me that a special defense is, like, 30.
Because I just looked up.
Are there no other baby, like, fairy? Or Togepi.
But Togepi's definite not. Togepi and Cleffa aren't. I would consider Iglybuff, because Iglybuff has HP.
Yeah, but I think it also has special defense. Azurill has, like, higher, nothing. But I'm not Yeah, the thing is, the world, like, nothing. Mime Jr. has special defense.
Oh, Mime Jr. I forget. Gosh dang it. That's a fun fact. That's another psychic fairy I could have used in Pokedoku, but I didn't remember it.
So with Mr. Mime, but I know Mr. Mime has special defense. So that's why I'm like, that's definitely not. Pretty sure it carried some of that. Are there other random little fairies that are just like, I'm just trying to think of like Fido probably has more special defense.
I just have to feel like it's Azurill. And I
do too. I feel like I'm also missing something.
Because, yeah, I just...
I'm going to need an answer.
We'll just say, we'll say Azurill. Yep.
Azurill is unfortunately incorrect. Yeah. The answer here is going to shock you based on your discussion. It is actually Iglybuff.
Ah, it's the other one!
Iglybuff has a base stat of 20. The next lowest special defense of all fairy-type Pokemon is actually Jigglypuff at 25. Followed up by Ralts with 35, and then Cutiefly, Azurill, and Impidimp, plus Snubbull.
Okay. Cutiefly was what I think I was thinking of.
Cutiefly was not
like
a bad
thought. There was something tiny that I know was, like, weak. But that was what I was thinking.
Yeah, I should have thought about Ralts for a second, too. But, you know.
But that still gives you guys 6 points today. That still gives you, 6 points. Like, that's nothing to sneeze at. And it does change up the standing. Well, maybe, I don't actually know. I just say words.
Don't lie to us.
Yeah, I don't know.
You thought it might change things up, then now it has to change things up.
Well, I mean, Shamu, you moved up.
I moved up from, 10th to 9th because there's no one in 9th.
Well, the lowest you can be in is 10th, but, in first place, we have Seth Vilo with 38 points. In second, we've got Lydian with 36. In third, we have Shark with 34. In fourth, we have Whimsicott with 28. In fifth, Dr. Shamu with 26. In sixth place, we've got Yushiro with 23. Seventh, Arsigma with 22. Sublime's in eighth with 21. Mark is in ninth place with 20, like all within 1 point of each other. And then Claude's in last with 12 because it's Claude. It's fine. We still love him. Yep, so it's still anybody's game. It's a race to 40, so, I mean, Shark, Lydian, or Seth can close it out here quickly.
One of us just has to sign up.
Sign up, and it'll just be the world's hardest trivia questions that week.
sending them in now. Liger will definitely save them.
He will for you guys specifically, like, if he knows you are on the show. He does get the harder ones on purpose.
Pull it out.
Yep. All right. Well, that's going to be it for Poke Quiz this week. We're going to kick it on over now, guys, to the topic.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
We have another review. This one is going to be from SpartanTHX117. 5 stars, longtime listener. The first time I've ever written a review for a podcast. I first started listening to your podcast when driving to meet my girlfriend on the weekends, when neither of us had to work. Since then, we've moved in together and become engaged. The both of us have been playing Pokemon since we were kids, and we have both listened to your podcast when traveling or working around the house together. We may not score too well on the quiz part, but we always enjoy the topics and conversation between the host and guests. Keep doing what you're doing. Well, thank you for that, and congrats on the engagement. If you would like your review read on the show, leave one, and it might be read. Until then, guys, we're going to kick it on over to the topic. Welcome to the topic. Our topic today is Pokemon Colosseum, as it is the 20th anniversary of Pokemon Colosseum, not in the U.S., but in Japan. It came out on November 21st, 2003, and it came out in North America not too long afterwards, actually, like March 22nd, 2004.
Yeah, March 22nd, May 14th in Europe.
Yeah, it's not too bad. That's actually not that bad. I actually remember Pokemon Colosseum being announced in Nintendo Power and being super hyped for it as a kid. I have opinions about Pokemon Colosseum nowadays because, I've tried to stream it once or twice. I think like kid me definitely thinks this is a better game than adult me does.
Oh yeah, because it's like that first real edgy title. You're like a cool main character who's stealing Pokemon from bad guys. And
I think the concept is actually really good. I think the concept of Pokemon Colosseum is fantastic. I think the execution of Pokemon Colosseum is part of the problem. Like the purification process. I need to talk to Tamashi Hiroka because she and I have very similar opinions about almost all things Pokemon. And Gen 3 was like the worst time to be alive in Pokemon because they were very anti you renting the game in Gen 3. So every game, to be able to complete it, they made an incredibly long process.
Yeah.
So, for example, in Pokemon Colosseum, to be able to trade a Pokemon to Ruby and Sapphire, I believe you had to purify the Pokemon. Did you have to purify all the Pokemon or just that Pokemon?
I think you just had to purify that Pokemon. But you also had to complete the game too on top of that.
Yeah, you had to complete the game, which was honestly really hard.
You had to beat the game and then purify whatever Pokemon, and purifying is insanely hard in Colosseum. They did fix that in Gale of Darkness. But in Colosseum, it was brutal because the only way you could do it was via battling, essentially.
Yeah.
You had to use them all, and there's no real good, easy way to train some of these Pokemon later on.
Yeah.
Like, you're against high level opponents, if anything, and like, you can go through only so much of the game until you get to a point of where you're in constant, like, post-game fights, where you can definitely, like, make it work, but it's rough, like, because you want them to be active, because they will go, if you get them to the Fever Pitch, which was like their rage mechanic of like, oh, your Pokemon's really, really angry, it's just gonna do whatever.
It could do whatever, or it could crit with its Shadow Rush attack. And
yeah, and you want to call it to like reduce the bar, but the thing is, Shadow Pokemon they gain EXP, but they don't gain levels. So you'll have a level 21 Shadow Pokemon, I guess like level 50s, and it's just gonna get one shot, because it's so low level.
So I guess I have a question for both of you. Oh, well, Shamu, you're a little bit younger than us. How old were you when Colosseum came out before I go on further? Like, roughly.
I gotta do math.
I was middle school age. I definitely did not.
Oh, I was.
Ever play it. I played it a little bit. I never, like, just kind of like at a friend's house, I never actually got the game.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
But it was definitely, like, just cool, obviously, looking at it. And I've, like, watched Let's Plays of it now, and
Have you ever actually played it, Shark?
Just a little bit as a kid, but that.
Oh, so you've never actually played Pokemon Colosseum?
Not truly. No, not experienced some of the things that I've heard and seen on this game, such as Mount Battle.
This is why you have fonder memories of it than I do. actually, I okay, so while Shamu's doing math.
I think I was in elementary school still.
Yeah, you had, well, for sure. I think I was in like sixth grade. I was in like sixth grade, so, or actually seventh grade. I was seventh grade.
Yeah, no, because I think I was like nine, if I remember from doing my math right.
That's probably about right-ish.
Okay, yeah, because I think I was about 13. I was 13, I think, when it came out. So I did get that Jirachi bonus disc, though. Pew, pew.
I have that, too. Yeah, that was the one thing I've got some of the old pre-order things are so cool.
Yeah, that was actually one of the cooler ones.
The gold, I think I still have my Diamond and Pearl stylus somewhere. The Ruby and Sapphire coins.
Yep, I remember all this.
Those were cool.
The question I guess I have for both of you.
Yeah.
Looking back on that now and looking at it today, how do you feel about the more adult aesthetic that it went for? The more adult tone? I'm going to say tone. I'm not going to say themes because the theme isn't really that adult. It's just more, the theme is, hey, you're a former Team Snaga member.
I enjoyed it. Like, I still kind of, I think it's interesting still. It's a different take. Like, I'd like to see some of these different takes on this thought, even if it's not like a main game, but like a side game that's kind of like this. I enjoy the different take. It's a breath of fresh air. Even Exegale Darkness felt a little less so, but it was still interesting because it's like a whole, you've got this different mechanic essentially than most Pokemon games of where you can catch wild Pokemon in Gale of Darkness, but it's like,
yeah, kind of, but yeah.
This is one of those games where you have, you can, it's still a very limited selection, but you can get other Pokemon. This is a game of like, here's like this pool of like 30 Pokemon. There's more, I think it's like 50, mm-hmm. but like, we'll say 30 Pokemon for your playthrough. Pick and choose and deal with it. Which is not something you get very often. Because even in the beginning, you usually get to choose something, but you don't. You really don't get to choose Pokemon. You're stuck with two evolutions, which is fine. Most people don't have a problem with that.
Especially these two. These are top Pokemon out there. People like...
And they're better... Like, they're ones that people have trouble getting sometimes, too. So it's like, here's for collectors, whatever. Mm-hmm. Gotta beat the game still, but you know. But I think it was a fine game still, you know? Like, yeah, there's problems, of course. I'm not gonna say there aren't. But like, as just a me wanting to play it and not trying to, like, trade back and forth.
Sure.
I don't have a problem with it. Like, in post-game, trying to trade something away is going to be a pain, of course, because of the purification. But like...
Yeah.
Most likely, I don't really... That doesn't bother me, just the generic player, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not trying to transfer every single thing out of the game.
Yeah.
Like, so... But I think the game was still fine. It still holds up to a degree, and I know there's some harder versions out there, too. Part of the story is ruined for me because of, Jello Apocalypse had a video on this where they dubbed over everything, and they just ruined the game entirely.
Oh, I can imagine so.
If you want to watch that, there's two episodes of it. There's supposed to be a third one, but I don't think it's been released, or I don't know what's up with it. But mm-hmm. they're like half an hour each, long each. It's great. It's, oh my god.
So what about you? What about you, Shark? Like, how do you feel about the tones?
I think it's good to have just like a little bit of this darker tone, just because it's something that's just not. I mean, obviously, Pokemon's kind of shifted away from that a little bit, but it's like,
yeah.
It's kind of interesting to have, like, the shadow Pokemon, like, you know, being the darker evil ones, and you're trying to be there to try to purify it. The idea of, like, okay, you're an ex-bad guy, you're stopping kidnappers from taking this random girl, and then you're, like, stealing all the bad like, the shadow Pokemon away from them. Like, that's, like, a kind of a fun, like, twist to the idea that I appreciate having something like the, like, slightly more adult, not like totally, but like it's a bit there. I kind of like I like that idea of it for sure.
I think it's as dark as Pokemon could probably go reasonably.
I want more shadow Pokemon back in the mainline games. I like it. Like, it was kind of an interesting and go, but I would like it back in a mainline game.
I would like it back too. I don't know. I think they can go a bit darker because part of me feels that like Scarlet and Violet had some moments that were much darker than Colosseum in general. Like, Arvin's story feels...
Arvin's story is definitely... It's dark in a different way. I don't know. This is, like, more over... This is definitely...
This is more gritty, if anything.
The tone they went for in Colosseum was 1,000% early 2000s edge.
1,000%. And it fit perfect with the time.
Oh, 1,000%. I do not disagree.
Yeah, it would fit perfectly. I don't think they could redo everything in Colosseum, but I feel they can go a little. They can go a little darker in certain aspects and not in the others. Like,
mm-hmm.
tone certain things down, go a bit further in that way or this way. But like, they've definitely done some kind of darker things now, so I feel like they could They could definitely do something with it if they went back to it.
An angle I wanted to take on this today, when Shark brought up the anniversary, is if we were to bring this back, considering modern Pokemon, I guess the question is, what do we think there's a vehicle for that now, or should we make something different? Is that like what form do you think a modern Pokemon Stadium will make? Well, or Coliseum, not Pokemon Stadium, would take? Because I personally don't know that anything. Like, you want to, like, a big curveball would be like Pokemon Legends Or. Could you imagine that? That would be like the biggest curveball ever.
Oh, geez, that would be
insane. I would be down for that, but that would be insane.
Wouldn't that be, that would be one, such a callback, because that of all of the Pokemon regions, Or has just kind of been forgotten and never discussed. It is based on the United States. It's based on the Western United States, which would be interesting to see that in the relation to Unova. To be fair, I think they are kind of hyping us up for some kind of like Pokemon Johto type deal that's going on. But I wouldn't be surprised if we just got like HeartGold, SoulSilver remakes.
I could see that, yeah.
In terms of having like the double style gameplay, like I definitely think that could hold up with VGC being the primary vehicle to competitive play.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
100%.
Given what they've done, like given what, first of all, this game actually has pretty good AI in terms of just being able to like execute like the very early stage, you know, double strategy, such as like weather or like.
Oh, yeah. No, they will. Yeah.
Even like earthquake spam, like protect earthquake like strategies, having that vehicle.
Oh, we gotta, if we're gonna talk about the double strategy, we need to go to the end of the game with the final boss.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, with skill swap Slaking.
Slowking with, against a Slowking with skill swap with Slaking.
Yeah, I remember that.
And they do, and they pull it off. Like, I don't think I actually fought that, or if I did, I didn't even, it never happened to me in my playthrough, but like seeing that in post, I'm like, oh, that's what that does? That's what that's there for? Oh my god. And it's like, the team is scary. It's like, you got like, it's a lot of strong Pokemon, but then also that, and that doesn't help. Like.
Oh yeah, no, like having like good early double strategy and seeing what they're done with now with some of the Battle Tower stuff, and specifically
yeah.
You have BDSP that like, or how they've done like their kind of end game battles and what they did in the DLC of Scarlet Violet with the, you know, the Kitakami, you know, Ogre Clan, like they have some fairly dedicated harder strategies. That I'm like, I could see like that could definitely carry through if they were to do that again.
I think what I would like to see is if we either get a new game or a remake. If we get a remake, I'd like to see them rehash the fights to a degree. But I could see that how I view Let's Go is like they are your first Pokemon game. I could see this as a primer to VGC. Here's your first like experience of VGC in a story game, essentially in a mainline game in a way. And have, like, bare minimum combos. Like, oh, here's this trainer early on that's got a plusle and a minin. What do they do? Well, it's got plus and minus. Here you go. And you kind of, like, weird little interactions like that of, like, here's a fire type with, like, flash fire. And here's, like, a water type with storm drain.
Yep. Here's Politoed next to Ludicolo. Or here's Ludicolo setting Radiance for Ludicolo. Dancing with Ludicolo.
Showing off some of the very bare minimum of, like, double strats, and I could see that as a thing of like getting people, they could do that as a means to get people into VGC.
So I agree with this. I don't think it's a terrible idea as a way to do things. So I guess the question that's more natural to follow up would be something more along the lines of how do you think they could put this together? Like, what would a modern Pokemon Coliseum look like? Is it going to be a spin-off game, or is it going to be something more akin to what we already have? I think that's kind of the question. That's what I wanted to get at to. Granted, this discussions.
I would lean spin it. I would still lean spin-off. Like, I'd like it to be a mainline in a way, but I know they would never do it as a mainline because it would just probably, you'd piss off a lot of people. And like, I also don't know if I'd actually want it as a mainline in reality. I'd like my single battles, but I could easily see this as a spin-off.
I think it's gonna be as mainline. I think it could be only as mainline as PLA is the mainline.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
No, that's kind of the vein I would see it in, right? Like, Because at this point, I don't think, one, I don't think we're ever going to, like, Nintendo's never going to bring this back to us. I think. Like, if they do, I will be genuinely surprised if we ever get Pokemon Colosseum back.
I'll be shocked if we get another game at Ore. It'd be nice, but I don't think we'll ever get it.
I don't even think we'll ever get that remake or even just, like, a virtual console.
I think we could get a virtual console, maybe, and I think that would, if depending on what happens with a virtual console release, would depend on if it gets thought of for another version of it or something like that. You know, that would determine if it gets produced or not.
Honestly, the fact that you can't really transfer Pokemon till post game anyway, I think this is the perfect virtual console game.
I don't disagree with you. I just don't think it's going to happen. You know what I mean?
I'm not saying it will either, but I'm saying like I think virtual console is more likely than a full-on remake at the moment, but if it gets to, like, virtual console and they realize, oh, us putting this on virtual console got a bunch of people to subscribe to our thing or buy it, and they see those numbers, they might go, maybe we should think about production on a remake or B, a new version or something, you know, or think about, like, let's just sell a double pack for, like, $60. People will probably buy it. Like, I probably would buy it, to be honest, which feels bad, but, you know, that's, like, if I could play it on new-gen hardware and not have to deal with, like, hooking up an old GameCube and all that.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
And especially if, like, you could transfer them to newer games if you wanted to hunt those things down, assuming they would work, you know? Hey, so it gives you a chance to get a Lugia in the Ho-Oh.
I think, the Ho-Oh is a whole other thing, but...
Ho-Oh is hard, but it's harder, yeah.
To be fair, I kind of like that, though. Like, I don't know. I miss things like that. The Ho-Oh, I'm not sure how many people are familiar with that, but...
I do miss the very secret, here's this treasure, like, here's your reward for doing everything.
So there is technically a Ho-Oh that is obtainable in Pokemon Colosseum, if people are not aware.
I can read it.
it is not easy, because I think you have to purify every single Shadow Pokemon. You have to use a team of Pokemon that are in the game. You can't, like, because they had a mount battle that you could, like, play with your team on cart, but you could also have them come from the RPG story as well, and you have to clear all 100 battles in mount battle, and then they'll just, like, give you a Ho-Oh.
You have to essentially have you registered your party of six from the scenario mode, which is the story.
I love how bad the OT is for that Ho-Oh, by the way, in English at least. Like, the English is just horrible.
Maddle.
Oh.
Maddle. For Mount Battle, it's Maddle.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Because we only got six characters.
You can either do Mount Battle as the 1v1 or the 2v2, though.
No, you can't do either one, but it does have to be Pokemon from the story.
Yeah, you can't use...
You have to use Pokemon in from the game that are purified, I think.
Well, you can trade Pokemon in, but it has to be from that save file.
Yes.
To do it.
Something like that, yeah.
That is what has to happen.
But yeah, no, and it's just like, you'll like do all that and then it just pops in your PC.
It's nuts. It's so much.
Lugia is just like, you catch it normally and you just have to purify it. And I think every Pokemon to be able to purify it.
The Lugia is different.
Well, I know at least that it's slightly different. You have to think.
No, there's like, so.
I don't know if it has to be everything else purified, but they're the machine. They're the purification machine, and you have to have it on, like, perfection, like, the perfect, like...
Yes, you have to have it... You have to set it...
Mode to purify everything, and then it'll work.
You don't have to purify everything, but you have to have a perfect circuit, essentially.
Yeah, okay, that's what it was.
You have to have a perfect circuit to be able to purify it. Which, like, as a kid, I was so into optimizing those circuits anyway that I ended up just having them by the time I caught Lugia. And I just put it in there. I was like, oh, it's purified now, I guess. Shadow Lugia, the coolest design of all Pokemon.
Oh, wait, I forgot these were... Oh, I forgot purification wasn't too bad in Colosseum. I forgot about these.
You could buy items to do it, like the massages or whatever, but like...
Yeah, you can buy items. They're the scents, yeah, and I remember them doing a chunk. They're like 1,200 for the best one.
Yeah, and some of them were still pretty rough, though. Like, even if you did that, it was... in terms of in-game currency.
It would still take a while, of course, but, like, it wasn't as bad as...
For something like, I think the ones that were particularly bad were, like, Metagross and then, all the legendary beasts.
Yeah, the very, like, high-end things were really rough.
Yeah, they're very terrible. Like, even with the incenses.
Just put a rubber band on your controller and have it lock in place and just slowly get it. Go do something else. Come back to it later.
Yeah, right.
But I forgot the Thenthorn there. Like, I thought that, I knew they were in XD Gale Darkness, but
Pokemon Colosseum itself is like, XD Gale of Darkness fixes a lot of things, but it takes away a lot of things at the same time. Like, it's not as gritty in terms of like tone. But yeah, I don't know. It mechanically it fixes a lot of things. Like, I would love to have the mechanics of XD Gale of Darkness in Pokemon Colosseum, if that makes sense. Like, I'd rather have that. That would be my perfect game, just because Colosseum itself is such a slog, and I wish it wasn't a slog. I'd love like a third follow up game to this, though, like a sequel to everything, because Gale of Darkness was supposed to be a sequel to to Colosseum, but I think literally the only character, like, there's a couple of characters that overlap. Like, I think Duking in Pyrite Town.
Duking overlaps. Some of like the random things, trainer.
Duking and Mirby.
Yeah, Mirby. The best character.
I think a couple other random support people do. Cause I think like the
It's not many though. It's
no, it's not many. I think the the Children Information Network, they cross over, and I think they grow up.
Well, yeah, because they're older. Yeah, because it's just like X number of years past. They don't really. It's like nondescript number of years past.
You can't forget about Ryder West, whatever his name is, Mr. Linoon Zigzagoon guy. He's still there.
Oh yeah, he's still there. His name's not West. It's something else. I know who you're talking about, though.
Oh no, West is the trainer, the main trainer name. But yeah, it's the.
I do love Mirby.
Mirby is great. Mirby is, like, the best person of the whole thing.
No, that's, like, one of the craziest characters that they've ever made in all of Pokemon. I'm so sad that we kind of just have just relegated him to a funky side game. It's very disappointing.
I didn't expect to be on Serebii and find a full-on walkthrough via text.
No. So Serebii used to do, like, text walkthroughs.
Yeah, I just didn't expect to find this.
It's a relic of the old internet.
Yep, why get rid of it when it's fine, yeah.
That's what the internet used to do. Like, we used to just...
And that's what I used to use. I used to use those things.
Yeah, no, we all used to use those. We used to use, like, text walkthroughs, which was terrible because, like, it was before, like, Control F worked well as well.
I don't know if we'll get another, the company still exists. I'm just doing some research of random things now looking at this.
Oh, Gina Sonority? Yeah, Gina Sonority was working on Pokemon games for a while, actually.
It does all the spin-off games. Pretty much any spin-off game, it does.
Pokemon Shuffle? It did Pokemon Shuffle, I think.
Yes. So, Colosseum was their first, then Gale of Darkness, Trozei, Battle Revolution, then they take a break for 5 years, and they come back with Learn with Pokemon Typing Adventure. I'm skipping some other random things, but these are the Pokemon ones. And then the 2014, Battle Trozei, 15, Shuffle, 2020, Cafe Mix. So I think they're,
Yeah. Oh god, they made Cafe Mix.
Yeah, they're under the strap of, we're making the mobile shovelware games.
Yeah, well, they got put there after Gale of Darkness, which is very frustrating.
Yeah, they've done some other minor things, but really, no. They have, it's basically, they're just kind of...
They're behind Denpomen, but yeah, like...
I would love, like, a Pokemon Battle Revolution style of game again, too.
I wish we could get new models, but, like, keep the animations. Like, I miss Kangaskhan. Kangaskhan's animation still brings me joy.
The old animations were pretty good. I do just miss, like, I don't know, having Pokemon Battle Revolution just felt really good.
It was nice, it was fun to, like, go to every once in a while, and, like, I just want to play, fight some trainers.
The problem is, like, we've, like, hit singularity with the handheld console, being also the home console now, because part of the magic, especially of Battle Revolution, was that, like, your DS was your controller for that game.
Well, I think it was, like, putting my game on my, that was in my handheld onto the big screen, but you can do that with a Switch now. That was the big call, like, you essentially do that.
Yeah, I just wish there was, like, I like the idea of a hub game. And I really love the idea of having a Battle Revolution. I've said this so many times on the show, because that's what Colosseum was. Colosseum was intended just to be like Pokemon Stadium successor as well.
Yeah.
Which it was. You could battle your Pokemon on the big screen on Pokemon Colosseum. They just didn't have many games. Instead of mini games, you just had a full-fledged RPG.
That is one thing I did like, was just a fun thing like that. And I could still if you like have a way to do it. It would just be rough, you know.
They also gave you access to a lot of Pokemon that you were missing at the time.
Oh yeah, it was also part of the here. Let's complete the Pokedex, or let you be able to complete the Pokedex with like less games.
To be fair, you don't need Colosseum and XD Gale of Darkness to be able to complete the Pokedexes in Gen 3. They do, I believe, significantly speed it up.
Yeah, they do.
Because if you don't use Colosseum, I think you have to play Fire Red Leaf Green 3 times.
I think because you have to have all the Johto Pokemon. That's what Colosseum basically was. It's like your Johto fill-in.
It made the starters easily. Yeah, because I think... How do you get the starters?
Yeah, because it gave you the starters, because the only way to get the starters in the, without Colosseum, the Johto starters...
Wasn't it like full dex completion?
You had to do full Hoenn dex completion in Emerald. Only in Emerald.
Yeah.
And you would get to pick one.
Yeah, so you'd have to do it 3 times in a row, essentially, to get them all.
You had to do this 3 times to get all of the Pokemon, which is kind of insane.
Yeah, it was rough. Yeah, that's the big thing where the Gen 3 starters, having a way to at least get them and breed them down and
stuff. Yeah, that was what was really frustrating, actually, at the time that Pokemon Colosseum came out, is that Ditto did not yet exist in Gen 3, because it came out before Fire Red Leaf Green came out.
Yeah.
So we didn't have access to Ditto. And so, I mean, and we didn't actually have Eevee in Gen 3 at the time either.
Mm-hmm.
So you start with Umbreon and Espeon, and you just kind of had to cross your fingers and hope one of them was female to be able to get the rest of the Eeveelutions.
Actually, are they able to be female?
I believe...
I'm looking at the actual Bulbapedia page, and they have male symbols by both of them, so I don't even think you could breed it.
No, they're both 100% male.
Did they lock them? Oh, never mind.
Yeah, Therapy had them both locked as well.
Oh my.
Never mind then. That's just wrong.
So you'd had to wait for Ditto, yeah.
Yeah, you couldn't even get Eevee. You could only get Espeon Umbreon. That is so funny and sad.
Isn't that frustrating?
Yeah.
It's incredibly frustrating.
I mean, is it better than Dexit? I don't know, but...
So Gen 3 was the original Dexit.
True.
It was, though, yeah.
Like, the Dexit we have now is... nothing in comparison of, like, the only issue I have with Dexit now is that they aren't doing what they did in Gen 3, I think, because, like, back then, like, they were obviously fleecing us for money, but I'm a kid, so I don't really have control over that. Now, I do have control over that, and it's Pokemon, I will let them fleece me for money. Like, I don't even like Furfru, but I want it back, you know?
Yeah, can we get Furfru back? I need it for reasons.
As far as we know, we do not get Furfru back.
Well, I think actually, no, wait, no, it's the forms that are paying. That's what it was. I can get Furfru. Can't do the forms though. That's what it is.
Yeah, because when you transfer the forms from previous games,
you have to transfer it from Go, and you can't get it. You can't transfer into Go. So
I think Pokemon Colosseum was a good time and a good concept. I think some of the things were poorly executed. I would love to see something like this come back. I think that's, like, personally, right now, I think we should, man, my dream for Pokemon Day, we're going to talk about this in a couple months anyway, like, my dream predictions for Pokemon Day 2024 are that, they announce a HeartGold SoulSilver remake, and then two, they announce, like, Pokemon Legends Johto.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we got to have something coming out next year, so whatever it is, hopefully it's a good one.
And I think going Unova, everybody's like, oh, it's Unova. Look at the games. They're really pushing Unova. And I think if you flip that coin, we get Johto, because Kitakami is very Johto-esque. And on top of that, if you look at the sets of legendaries that are getting Paradox forms, it's not just Gen 5, it's also Gen 2.
I just saw that there are Eevee Shadow Pokemon.
Yes, those were Japanese exclusives, which was very frustrating. And so if you have a Japanese copy of Pokemon Colosseum...
It's not that there were anything super special, I think, other than maybe moves, but, like... Because you can get these Pokemon other...
Scizor was interesting at the time, because... So the Pokemon that you see there that were... Well, one, the Togepi is not that exciting.
It's Togepi, Mareep, and then Scizor. Because the thing is, you can get Flaffy and Togetic in the mainline game anyways. Togetic is harder, but you can get it.
No, you can't get Mareep, though, or... no, you can get Flaffy. You can get Flaffy, though. You're correct. You can get Flaffy.
Yeah, that's why. Like, the first two don't matter much because they're an evolved form you can just, like, breed down.
But the other one is also Scizor. Scyther was not available at the time either.
Yeah, no, Scizor is, like...
Like, if you remember that this game existed before Fire Red and Leaf Green, it feels very messed up. Like, like it's very messed up how bad it is, because it's just like, oh, hey, you want all these Pokemon that you can't have anyway? I think this came out like a full like 6 months before Fire Red and Leaf Green, by the way, which is terrifying to me.
Oh, it just even dawned on me this, like, when you're talking about all these Pokemon, you have the one thing that this game was also very useful for, which is the Ribbon Master quest, where if you want to get every ribbon on every Pokemon in every game.
That's where a lot of people start with it. Yeah, you have to, it has to be a Pokemon from this game. It has to be a Pokemon for this game, because you get a ribbon for purification that can only be one of these 48 Pokemon. Granted, I think it could be one of the Pokemon as well from Gale of Darkness.
Yeah, it looks like I have the list here of least up through. Actually, is it all the way include these? I will double check it. But right now, the list of Ribbon Master Pokemon is down to 15, where Colosseum itself is Sudowoodo, which I think is probably your staple one. Scizor using e-reader.
What is it that like prevents certain ones from doing it?
Pokemon not available in a gen with ribbons.
Galar, I think, is Galar and Hisui, I think, and Paldea, I think.
Oh, Galar and PLA, and then, man, yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's those that are, because you have to be able to go into all those games, and I think Galar really took a lot of them out, because you couldn't, because, you know, that was the first Dexit, so you have to. The best Ribbon Masters left are Sudowoodo, Scizor, Heracross, Sneasel, Piloswine, and then Gale of Darkness you can get, I guess, Swinub, Scyther, Snorlax, Ralts, Duskull, Snorunt, Chansey, Magneton, Golduck, and Vulpix. So a couple of those are even duplicates-ish, though I think the funniest thing is if you did Ribbon Master for Kleavor. You could technically go and do that, which is kind of fun.
That sounds fun. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll suffer and do that at some point. Honestly, if Shuckle was still an option, I probably would do it for that. But
yeah, I think Shuckle used to, but oh no, it couldn't go in PLA. Shuckle's not in PLA.
It used to be for sure.
It can't go in PLA. Womp womp.
What ribbon do you get in PLA?
Oh god, there's one ribbon. It's the Pioneer ribbon.
It's like one ribbon, and I think you just get it for going.
Oh, it's just, you have to take a picture of it. Oh, well, oh wait, you just have to prepare the Pokemon. Oh, it's basically where you go to the photo studio. You don't even have to take the picture, but you just have to go in there with your Pokemon. And you get the Hisui ribbon. Yep, there's 93 ribbons you can get with, doing this challenge, so.
I don't know, like, part of me, if I was going to do it at this point, is just, it's not really the ribbon challenge that I'm worried about. It's the get, like, I don't want the maximum, I don't want all of the ribbons, I want all of the ribbons that Pokemon can get. You know what I mean? That's what I would want. I think that's the way we're gonna have to rephrase this challenge after Gen 10 happens.
Yeah, we'll see. It's like, up until the point where they stop, like, where there's no more that can. I mean, you still...
Yeah, cause, like, even though, Shuckle can't get all of them anymore, but I'd still probably do it to maximum that Shuckle could get.
Yeah, the maximum that Shuckle can do, exactly.
And Kleavor does sound actually fun. I just don't know. I probably do Kleavor just to do it.
Can you do Kleavor?
You technically could do Scyther all the way up to Gen 8.
Oh yeah, because Scyther is in Gale of Darkness.
Yep, that's how you do it. You have to do Gale of Darkness for that one.
I think Kleavor would be a funny one. That's kind of why I want to do it. Because it's a is there anything? What else? Nothing else evolves into any new forms anymore. Yeah.
Because you have to do regular Vulpix, Snorlax is, you could
unless we ever get something that lets a change of form, but like...
You could do Gallade, which is semi-interesting, but the issue is that you would have to do the Gen 3 stuff with the Kirillia, which is kind of rough, but specifically all the Battle Tower stuff. That's the hard part, because yeah, that's where most of the ribbons are.
Colosseum is an interesting beast. I think I don't want to go on too much farther because we're just going to spiral. But I do think it's a fun game. I would love to know what everybody else thinks of Colosseum. Do you think it's a good game? Do you think it's a bad game? Do you think we should get it back? Do you think we should get a new game in this? Let us know, PunklePodcast@gmail.com. But I love this discussion. It was great. I am looking forward to seeing what everybody else has to say. So that's it for our topic this week. And I am going to kick us on over then to our Pokemon of the episode. So let's kick it on over there, and we'll catch you on the flip-flop.
Poke of the episode.
Welcome to our Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 272, Ludicolo, the carefree Pokemon.
Its Pokemon Sapphire entry reads, upon hearing an upbeat and cheerful rhythm, the cells in Ludicolo's body become very energetic and active. Even in battle, this Pokemon will exhibit its amazing amount of power.
Do 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 do. Yeah, that song is permanently burned into my brain. But yeah, Ludicolo is a cool Pokemon, though.
It is.
I mean, it does get Swift Swim competitively, so that's worthwhile.
Yeah, right. Raindish, Swift Swim are both good.
Ludicolo EX when?
Not for a while.
I wonder if we'll get one when we finally get like the DLC TCG sets.
I could see us doing that. We have to deal with the whole paradox.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's like a Terra Ludicolo.
I could see Terra Ludicolo, Terra
Please
Shiftry.
It's gotta be Terra Water.
What would you do for Ludicolo? Terra Water, you said?
No.
I would do Terra Water if it's just because the fact it is, you know, it's Ludicolo, it's rain themed.
They've
just been picking random types.
With like Shiftry, you do Terra normal to revert, like to show flying. And I'm just trying to think like what you would do with like Ludicolo, and I guess like maybe fire.
Fire would be cool.
Fire would be funny.
Yeah, just make it instead of a rain one, it's a sun one. It has weather ball as its attack. low stage attack.
Fire type, but have like water energy for the attack to give like another ice Q-esque thing.
I just want Ludicolo to have a not just like standard TCG card. I feel like Ludicolo deserves that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, we actually haven't had a Ludicolo card since Evolving Skies.
Yeah, because the last one we had was the one that did 100 damage for the turn upon evolution.
That is the only one that is currently legal, is the one from Evolving Skies.
Yeah.
With the enthusiastic dance ability.
Us to get another Terra Dragon. Give us a Terra Dragon so I can break it.
When you play this Pokemon from your hand to evolve one of your Pokemon during your turn, you may use this ability. During this turn, your basic Pokemon's attacks do 100 more damage to your opponent's active Pokemon. I don't think we're going to get a Terra Dragon.
It won't be until the next set of stuff, but like,
yeah,
I want one. I would like one.
They just won't make one that exists while Regidrago's in rotation.
They gave us Noivern. Noivern's busted as hell.
Yeah, but it's not, Terra.
It's not a Terra. We did get a Terra Dragon. It's just not a different shifted one.
Yeah.
We have Dragonite. It's just bad.
Oh, that's true. You're right.
It's just flat out bad. It's like 250, or it's like 120 plus 120 on a coin flip. And if you fail, you just don't attack. It's like, what?
I think that it's also, so bad. I think also doing it makes it bad, or it might make it too good, because point of a lot of the dragon type Pokemon in the TCG, it's no weakness, no resistance, but they typically take two energy types to attack.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it usually takes two energy types to attack. And I think if you like made Ludicolo turn dragon, it might just be like, oh, here's water energy for Ludicolo, or here's grass energy for Ludicolo, instead of both.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, like it'd be, well, that's what they would do. And I think that's fine, because you're not playing a dragon full dragon deck. You're just your capstone's dragon. And even then, with a Pokemon like Ludicolo, I don't see an issue with making it water grass. It's both of its types. It's not the end of the world. Playing the deck alone too. If you're gonna make it and then play the deck, if it's good enough to play on its own, you're willing to pay that two energy if that attack is good enough.
Yeah.
It would be more. Drago already is cheating all that anyway. There's no issue for it to cheat anymore, you know?
I love this gif of the Ludicolo sprite from Black and White.
I know, I was watching it that up, too. I'm just it like showed up and I'm just right like this is to it.
This is amazing.
This is our life now. We're this just watching amazing. It top back and forth and open and close its mouth.
Yeah. This is amazing. Why, yeah,
I've
why
got
is
one screen looking
thing?
At Ludicolo dancing as I'm looking through all the TCG cards just saying like, oh, it's, all of them are like rain dish healing yeah, itself, basically yeah. otherwise.
That's its
we already
it deserves
did-
better.
Oh, no, it'll make it Terra Fire. You want to know why?
Why?
Delta type.
Oh, yeah, they are copying
it. It's Delta Fire.
They are copying
yeah,
it.
Yeah, the Delta Fire one. So it would be Fire type.
Yeah, I could see it for sure.
All right. Well, Ludicolo is a fun Pokemon with rain, and we've got a VGC team here that's technically legal with Ludicolo
no,
on
it's,
it.
Yeah, no, this is one from that I found that was like probably right up after the DLC launched.
Or, yeah, is it? Like, okay, right but like, it's not going to perform well. It's still Ludicolo.
It's a good support Pokemon in the format.
It's
if
okay.
You could, like
it's
with
okay.
this set, and it's still got the rain
this
boosted.
Doesn't seem, this, I will say this doesn't seem. Yeah, like rain boost with bulk, and like that's not bad.
It's like we have Palafin at home. You know,
Palafin's physical. What do you mean?
I still think if you're gonna do rain, like there's Pokemon that do a better job than Ludicolo, but.
I think technically
Golduck
it,
will do better.
Bad.
I think Golduck would do better.
I don't think Golduck it's fake out. The fake out is huge.
Fake out is good. It does get Icy Wind too for some speed control, which is really nice. Okay, so this is a Ludicolo on this team, obviously. It's Ludicolo, it has Swift Swim. It's got Electric Terra type because that's a fun Terra type for Ludicolo to have. It's got an EV spread that is for VGC. And it's a modest nature. Granted, this team is actually pretty good about their EV spreads. Oh, I spoke too soon. It modest nature. It's got Fake Out, which is great for support. You know, flinches, the whole shebang. Hydro Pump, because you're probably in the rain and you're hitting hard. Icy Wind for some speed control and Giga Drain so you stay bulky. I mean, you're holding an Assault Vest, so you are especially bulky. You compare this. I find it odd that they chose Politoed as the rain setter in this case. But they did. And so this is a Politoed. It's got Drizzle. It's holding a Citrus Berry. Terra type Ice, because it does have Ice Beam and you can get Stab Ice Beam that way, which is good against Pokemon such as Landorus, which I think is still pretty prevalent in the format.
Oh, yeah. Landorus Therian is one of the more popular Pokemon.
It's still pretty prevalent.
Right now, the top three usage is Fluttermane, Iron Hands, and Lando-T. They're all right at the same level.
But yeah, Protect, Helping Hand, Hydro Pump, and Ice Beam are on that Politoed. There's a lot of other things that make me go, yep, this is a VGC team. But those two that I just read do not make me say that. so I don't know who wants to take two of the others, but feel free to take VGC staples.
I'll grab the next two.
Sure. Okay.
The Chiyu on here with Choice Specs, be the Ruin, of course, at the ability. The Ghost Terra type, which makes sense.
Yeah, that's actually pretty
fake
pretty
out.
Fake out, yeah, it's pretty. No, mostly fighting type moves actually.
And that too. Iron Hands is there.
Yeah, it's just it'll dodge the normal fighting, whatever. And it's got 4 HP, max special attack, max speed, modest nature. Heat Wave, Snarl, Dark Pulse, Overheat, fairly standard. Like nothing crazy. And then we've got a Tornadus, with a Covert Cloak and Prankster, Terra Flying, with the VGC spread of 252 HP, 28 Defense, 220 Special Attack, 4 Special Defense, and 4 Speed. Modest Nature, Bleak Wind Storm, Tailwind, Rain Dance, Sunny Day. In case you say, rain's really bad, I just want sun, which is obviously better, then there you go. You got that to fix your problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's very true. Shark, you should take us home.
Yeah, and if you do go the sun mode, just kind of have the support, you've got Fluttermane, basically one of the more kind of bulkier versions of Fluttermane's EV spread, Terra-type Grass with Life Orb, Shadow Ball, Dazzle Gleam, Moonblast Protect, fairly standard-ish, and you've got Goldengo being in the bulky version with Terra-type Fairy, holding Leftovers, Modest Nature, Make It Rain, Shadow Ball, Nasty Plot, and Protect.
Woo. That is a VGC team. We'll put it on the Discord server for you guys to go play with. I honestly have been preferring VGC to OU nowadays. So I'm probably not going to try this one out. I'll probably play with like a team I like, but, but Ludicolo for the memes.
I mean, if you want to use Ludicolo, this is the team to do it.
The new regulation, I don't think kicks in until January.
Oh, the January?
Probably January.
It's January because I think we wait for the Pokemon and the Indigo Disc to become legal. So I believe that is it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, right. I'm thinking of the event I was thinking of.
Yep.
Not the actual regulation.
But yeah, it'll be the new regulation will start in approximately 2 months.
Yeah.
So there's time to work on this one, which is nice. And I'm sure we'll be stuck in the next regulation for quite a while because what's going to happen after Indigo Disc?
I do hope they slow down the regulations.
The Ubers. Don't do the
They're going to do it. They're going to do it. You know they're going to do it to hurt us, okay? They can't not hurt us. Zacian's coming back. Zacian's coming back. It's fine.
The only good news is they nerfed it to heck.
Yes, they did. Holy crap. It's
broken, though.
It's still good, but it's not as good.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. That is the team. We are going to kick it on over now, guys, to our mailbag segment where we're going to read some emails from you guys. So, yeah, let's head on over to the mailbag.
It's mail time! Send in your emails!
Welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag is a part of the show where you can email us at pucklepodcast@gmail.com and let us know what you thought about the topic the week before. Last week, we asked you what your top five and bottom five steel types were. We did not get as many emails as we usually get for these, which is surprising.
Well, to be fair, we're recording a smidge early, but...
We are a little early, but to be fair, we say that, and then we will get like five emails overnight.
That's fair.
Yeah, we will get five emails overnight. Okay, we do have a couple though. But as always, this segment is brought to you by the fictional energy drink Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves.
And I believe anyway, both of the people we're going to read today already have it. If you don't, let us know. You get it. All right. So this first email is going to be from the Aussie Crocodile, and I get to read this one. Good day, Buckle. Actually, I just talked to him. He's a great guy. Over the last few weeks, I've been busier than a Blissey in a Route 1 Pokemon Center. And I've missed a few episodes, so I had to catch up. Screw you, Charizard. You're over. Done. Over and done. Blastoise is far superior. I've been playing Natdex doubles as of late, and my turtle brother has faithfully been by my side through the wins and many losses. Looking forward to getting him back in Indigo Disc. Me too. I'm looking forward to getting him back in Indigo Disc as well. But steel types. Top 5. Corviknight. This Gen 8 bird is perfect in my eyes, and when I get around to it, I'll be getting him tattooed onto my skin. Behind Blastoise and Snorlax, this boy is in my top 5 Pokemon of all time. Probopass. He has a mustache. I like mustache and bearded Pokemon. Oh, that's the whole reason. Okay. Berserker. For the same reason stated above, he looks like a menace. Berserker's cool. I actually like Berserker. Steelix, for the same reasons as was discussed on last week's episode, which for those of you who missed it, was that he is just the Steel-type Pokemon. Like, Steelix is the Steel-type. That's how a lot of people were introduced to the type, was through Steelix, so that makes sense.
I understand. That's a fair reason.
He's like Steelix, more so than other Pokemon of their types, is a mascot for the type, I feel like. Klefki, the fairy steel Pokemon with Prankster. I've had some fun with this keyring Pokemon and would love to see an evolution. Oh no. You gotta play the TCG. Jingle, jingle. Jingle, jingle. Nightmares.
Jingle, jingle. No game for you.
Lost box players.
Yeah, no game for you. No game for you. Jingle, jingle. Bottom 5, Golden Go. I should like him as he does represent Aussie culture and being a surfer dude made of gold. And outside of Kobala, he would be as closest thing to an Australian Pokemon we have. Maybe if it was released in a game based on my great country, I would feel different. But yeah, Golden Go is in my bottom 5. No, Kangaskhan is not an Aussie Pokemon. She is nothing like a kangaroo, and it makes me mad when the comparison is made.
Why aren't they both marsupials?
They are marsupials. So are koalas.
That's close enough.
Other thing, the rest of the bottom 5 have no explanations, by the way. Trash Wormadam, that makes sense. As Cavalier, Galarian Stun, I can see an argument for As Cavalier.
I can see, like, as Cavalier, I like it, but it's because of the bug, but I can see why people don't, like, I'm not a, like, that's fair.
Galarian Stunfisk, is, also a good choice. That was on the show's bottom five.
Unfortunate, but fair.
Q-Fint. I could actually probably fight for Q-Fint. I would fight for Q-Fint. I think it's an interesting design.
Yeah, I can fight, though it's like 6 feet under, yeah. Yeah. Just fight the Q-Fint.
But that rounds out my bottom five. Steel on the topic of steel types. Okay, that's a good pun. Gen 9 missed a great opportunity to create two more Paradox Pokemon, a Steel-type Eevee-Lution for Violet and a Rock or Ghost-type Eevee-Lution for Scarlet.
No Ghost Eevee-Lution, please, never.
I don't think they should do new Eevee-Lutions ever again.
Honestly, I'm kind of okay with that as well. Or if we do like a rainbow form or something like that, or just do a special form for Eevee, I'd be fine with that. We have too many.
Like, if there was going to be another one, I would want an Eevee evolution that's just normal type. Where it's just, here's fluffier Eevee.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah. Here's Eevee V.
No, I want Eevee-on. I want Eevee-on. That is what I want.
No, that's fair, I guess.
Just Eevee-on. Here's Eevee-on.
Eevee-on applied directly to the forehead. Eevee.
That's it for me, the Aussie Crocodile. Well, thank you for that one. Our next email and our last email for this week is actually going to be from Gigaswords Games, and Shark has fallen on the sword on this one.
Hello, Puckle Crew. The Steel Type episode this week was very entertaining. The discussion about Goldengo in particular was quite funny, so I thought to write in to give my 2 cents on the topic. In general,
actually, there was a. I bring this up because I want it to be known that I do read the Spotify comments. I just don't make them all public. But one of the Spotify comments, because Seth was like vehemently trying to get Goldengo in the top five, but the problem was Sublime and I were the other two people on this committee.
Oh, good. Goldengo does not deserve top five. It's a fun Pokemon. It's not top five.
I could let it in my top five.
I could see a fight for it. I wouldn't let it though.
He just looks like string cheese, so like I kind of take issue with that.
But I like string cheese surfer.
I'm also confused why he's a surfer, but that's a completely different story thing. But
Cinnamon, they're referencing Applejacks, even though it's an American thing and not a Japanese thing.
But Goldengo, Seth defended Goldengo very vehemently multiple times by saying like, it's a ghost inhabiting 1,000 coins. And somebody put a comment on our Spotify saying, take a shot every time he says it's a ghost inhabiting 1,000 coins. And I was just like, I'm like,
I know we can't do that. That might kill someone. We can't allow that.
I was like, oh no, that's a drinking game I don't want to play.
All right, so here's a Gigasaurus' comments on it. In general, I like a lot of Steelite types. There just aren't that many I dislike. I even like Durant because it has a nice sleek design that very much screams Steel Ant, which is clearly what it's going for. Goldengo, however, it's weird. I really dislike its design. The string cheese makes it look more like a dairy product than either a steel or ghost type.
Agree.
Its vibe isn't as absurd enough for me to find funny, and the quest to get it is such a grind, I still haven't bothered completing it for myself.
Oh, it's not that bad. You would probably do it throughout the story if you just, like, explore naturally.
There's also a guy, like, in one of the cities if you go over to, so it's like, you're gonna have coins. Like, it's not... I was doing a lot of it, like... Mostly throughout, I think throughout, I think by the end I had like about half of it, which is still not bad. It's not hard to get them. You just gotta.
I think by the end of the story, I had something like maybe 800 coins.
Yeah, like you'll have a lot of them by the end if you're like seeing the things and exploring a lot.
On the other hand, it's very interesting to use competitively. Nasty Plot with Make It Rain and Status Move Immunity are really interesting niches to fill and allows it to have a place even as the more powerful Pokemon come into the meta. So its competitive design is really quite impressive. That alone keeps it off my bottom list, but it isn't enough to make it a top steal.
I would argue that it actually makes it it is one of the more powerful Pokemon. It is the ultimate spin blocker, because Defog does not work on it, and it's ghost type, so Rapid Spin doesn't work on it either.
And Mortal Spin as well. Being steel type, it is the spin blocker, that Pokemon.
It is the definitive spin blocker. It is quite nasty.
And Smogon is definitely keeping its eye on it and Gliscor right now because of that.
Aren't they suspecting it? Aren't they suspect?
Gliscor is suspect right now, yeah.
Gliscor is suspect, but then I think Goldengo is right after it. We had a small discussion on it last week. It is one of those Pokemon, and Pokemon in general, like Game Freak has been better about this lately, where they are designing Pokemon for competitive. And Golden Go is one of those that was designed for competitive.
I think a lot of the paradoxes were too, but like they just put, that's why they put them so far in.
Mm-hmm. All right. So here's the bottom list of Gigasaurus's steel types. Galarian Stunfisk, one of the very few steel types that, in which I feel nothing, which is really not a good sign for someone who likes Durant. Alolan Dugtrio. I still don't understand why its hair makes it a steel type, and it doesn't look like one. Wormadam.
Yeah, it's because they actually have like this metal flaw. This is a thing.
Yeah, it's a fiber. It's a metal fiber. Yeah.
Around volcanoes. It's a metal fiber that forms around volcanoes. But yeah, I continue.
It makes sense. But
like, there's a reason. It's just, it appearance-wise, it's not good.
I agree with it being on a bottom list. I do appreciate what they tried to do, though, in that they were trying to make a steel-type Pokemon that didn't look like a steel-type Pokemon. I do appreciate that, but I digress.
Wormadam. It's a Wormadam. Also, the pink hair doesn't look steel to me either. Zacian / Zamazenta. I really disliked them when they were released, but I've gotten used to them. On the other hand, Dog with Sword is still stupid, and the design and balance of the two was painful as someone who got Shield because I liked the design a little better.
What do you mean? They're the fairy and fighting types. They're not steel types. What? What?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fairy and fighting. I don't know what's wrong. Yeah.
Yeah, it was bad.
Klefki is such a boring design because it's just a key ring. It looks like a Gen 1 design that came out in Gen 6 and tried to be fancy and it didn't work. Its prankster tricks might have kept it out of the bottom, but Grimmsnarl, Tornadus, even Murkrow do the prankster job much better.
I like the word of bizarring, like boring and snoring. So that's how boring it is, bizarring.
All right. As for my top steel sites, I've settled on Aegislash for all the reasons said on the show. Metagross. It is such a cool and unique design for a pseudo-legendary Pokemon, and it looks like a hulking mech in a way that most steel types just don't pull off. Genesect, the prehistoric mecha bug with a laser cannon, is absurd enough to be funny, plus its competitive niche was always interesting to see, since it was a mixed attacker with a very interesting move pool that included Blaze Kick from an event.
I remember that.
Genesect was wild. I can't imagine it being back in the meta again, just because Bolt Beam plus Fire plus Bug plus Steel plus whatever. Oh, God.
I don't know. I could see a world where it does come back. Like, they've been doing a very good job of every generation demythicalizing a Pokemon lately.
I could see it, but I just think about it. Yeah, I could see it. I just imagine it, though, and I go, oh my god, the move pool it has.
I'm waiting for Genesect / Victini to be the next, you know, Pokemon that get, I think we'll get Victini at the inevitable Unova remake, whether that's next year or in a few more years.
These games are the one that Genesect could be, but with the whole Paradox future past thing, I could see that.
It's very reasonable for Genesect to be the demythicalized Pokemon here. Yeah, I love demythicalizing Pokemon, because mythical Pokemon are the dumbest thing that's ever happened.
Yeah, I would say so.
At least, not in terms of design, but in terms of distribution, I would argue. We should be able to get them in a game.
Bastiodon. I'm going to be honest, this is definitely just my fossil Pokemon bias coming through. I can pretend otherwise with Genesect, but Bastiodon shouldn't have any redeeming qualities. I do like the take on Ceratopsians, though. I even have a Bastiodon plush.
We love Bastiodon.
I'm actually shocked that somebody that goes by Gigasaurus Games is into fossil Pokemon.
Yeah,
it's quite a shock. You'll just have to accept it, though.
I did not see that one coming.
And Bisharp. Bisharp was always a very sleek design, sort of like Durant, and it was interesting competitively. It really submitted in my top list when I used it for a catch cup at a regional side event, though, because it won a VGC match in a 1v4 matchup, which is epic enough that I couldn't believe it managed it, even if the bulk was partially due to Eviolite. King Gambit, on the other hand, only misses my bottom list because it makes Bisharp better, because I don't like the direction of the design it went.
The design is kind of weird. I do agree.
It's a weird design. I like it more for the goofiness and less for the actual seriousness of it. Like, the hair stool is hilarious to me, but that's like all it. The hair stool plus it just floating around is what I find funny.
Yeah, just running around with it, kind of riding its little hair stool, just like,
Yeah.
But it's also, it's supposed to be, it's like trying to be serious and it just doesn't look serious when you see that and it's like.
Yeah.
But that's fair.
As always, thank you all for the great work you'll do to put in together the show. I hope you all have a great week. Gigasorsky.
All right. And like we said earlier in the show, you can email us next week at PucklePodcast@gmail.com, letting us know which, what you think of Pokemon Colosseum, your thoughts, your reflections, anything you have to say about the games. Do you hate them? Do you love them? Do you want them back? Let us know. PucklePodcast@gmail.com. Until then, though, you can come and hang out with us at PuckleDiscord.com. You can also, of course, follow us on any of the social media platforms that you typically would follow us on, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, so on and so forth. Additionally, you can follow us over on Twitch at twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast or YouTube at youtube.com/pucklepodcast and see some exclusive video content. If you want to help support the show, you could do so in a couple ways. One, if you're addicted to cardboard like myself and Shamu, you can go to trollandtoad.com. And use code PucklePod5 at checkout, and it helps save you 5%, and it gives a small kickback to us as well. Additionally, you can also follow us at, or you can also go to our Patreon at patreon.com/PucklePodcast, get access to exclusive shows, and I believe this month the Patreons are going to vote on what our first merch item is that we're going to make a merch tier for. Yeah. We'll see what it's going to be, and then we'll make the tier for it in December, and it's going to be one of those deals where you have to be in the tier for 3 months to be able to receive it. So we will go ahead and figure that out. Let's see. I think that's it. That's my normal spiel. So I'm Trainer Thatch.
I'm Shamu.
And I'm Shark Finnegan.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time. Welcome to another Patreon hangout. I am Thatch, and today I've got a lot of people. I've got Disco, formerly.
Hey, what's up?
Were you formerly Disco Calypso?
I was, not to be confused with the other Disco on the Discord.
We have another Disco on the Discord.
Yeah, it got messy during Summer League.
And we've also got Ernie. I don't know how to pronounce your actual Ernie, so I'm going to go with.
Yeah, Ernie C. Charizard Stan, Retro's Stan. Internet Dad.
And then we've got Wyatt.
Hey,
So this is the show where I just hang out with you guys and we talk, mostly so you can tease out like nuggets of information from me, but also so I get to know you because that's one of my favorite things about Puckle, and I haven't been. So we've got. I'm going to start with you, Disco, because you're on the top of the Discord list. I'm going to start with you, and I just want to know two questions, and you can answer them in whatever order you want, and the same two questions will apply to everybody else. But when did you start doing Pokemon, and how did you find Puckle? In that order, go.
Okay.
Not in that order. I just said not.
I'll flip it around. No, I know that order is fine. I found Pokemon, I guess when it came out, well, okay, a short story. My friend went to America for a year when I was 11.
Okay, so where are you living now? Where are you living now?
I'm in the UK.
That's what I assumed based on the accent, but I didn't want to make the assumption.
Yeah, but you never know, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Always lived here. So my friend moved over to the States for a year when we were 11, and she came back with a Game Boy Color and a copy of Pokemon Blue. And it wasn't out in the UK at the time. So me and my friends are like, what is this? What is this thing? And smashed through it. So it then came out a few months later in the UK. And that was where it started for me. It's been a part of my life basically ever since. So that was how I got into it. And then Puckle, that was much later.
I would assume.
I've been in the I've been in the Discord since 2019. So it was the run up to Sword and Shield.
Has it only been 2019?
Yeah.
I feel like I've seen the name for longer than that. Because like you've definitely sent some emails and sport, right? And
I take part in most of the tourneys as well.
Yeah. I remember people's names for the most part, especially like Discord handles. It's much easier than this is Steve number 7. It's much easier to be like, yeah, that's Disco. I don't know. That's how I remember people as their Discord users. It's so much easier.
Yeah, right.
I remember names very well because like people will come back to the Discord server. My favorite thing is like when it's somebody, like if you hang out in the Discord server and you actually talk, and you do it, you will, I will remember you. And so people will come in and they'll go, oh, hey, they'll be like, oh, hey, you probably don't remember me, but I used to hang out here like 5 years ago. And I'll be like, yeah, I remember you are your name popped up all the time because you love this place. So,
yeah, and that's the thing. Like we hang out here, but a lot of people lurk. I lurked in the Discord for a long time before I really got stuck in.
There's a lot of lurkers.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
I know that.
And then here we are, right?
Yeah,
you get chatting to people. You make some friends.
Exactly.
It's a fun place to be.
No, it absolutely right. Well, we'll get back to you guys. So Ernie, tell me about yourself.
All right. So, to start how I got into Pokemon, my older brothers. 5 years older than me, and he was in fifth grade when the Pokemon craze hit. Like his birthday party was Pokemon themed. We played the Pokemon board game. I don't know if you remember that one, Thad.
Oh, are you talking about like the Master Trainer game? That's horrible.
Oh God!
It had like the Indigo League on it and everything.
Yep.
It was.
Yep.
It was so long and so bad. If I remember it correctly.
So we tried. We were going to do a stream of us playing it on Tabletop Sim. But unfortunately I couldn't partake. I believe like Linian and Shark and a couple other people did it. And they're just like, yeah, we had to quit before it was over because it takes too long.
Yeah. that's what I remember it as.
Yeah, it takes 8 hours. It's pretty bad.
So that was his fifth grade birthday party, and me being the kindergarten little brother was like, I love this thing because my older brother does. Like got completely hooked on the anime. I would take his red cartridge when he was at like sports or hanging out with his friends and like run down the basement and hide and play it and like just got completely hooked. Then I kind of took a break in like middle school. Cause I got, you know, too cool for this little game that I played when I was 5 years old. And then, the Switch came out. I heard about Sword and Shield and just.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.